We head right into our second of 3 hours. Nice to have you here. A tremendous Friday to you. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. And as you know, this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up at 40 past this hour, Terry Stotts, the head coach of the Trailblazers. Next hour, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick. The obvious week that was next hour. I'm going off the board on a few things. I want to preview the smack off with some more storylines. That's coming up in only 42 days. And we start hour number two the way we ended hour number one. More people calling beaks fat. Dear Jim, burgers on an open flame time. Let me stop right there. I think I said dame time. I'm almost positive that I referred to it as dame time, not burgers on an open flame time. When it's not muffins and jam time. Regards, seeks no cardio activity. You see what that guy did there? Not beaks in Studio City. Seeks no cardio activity. Signed, Dan in C-Town. Returning from a 2-year jungle sabbatical, helping him. You know what, Dan? Take 2 more years. You're pretty proud of yourself, aren't you, Dan? Seeks no cardio activity. I know you are, but you shouldn't be. Casey in New Hampshire. Jim, maybe we should stop piling on beaks. Signed, Pounds. Listen, I'm not here to do this. I'm not here for this. The entire crew did not roll in here between 5 and 6 a.m. for a 9 a.m. show so y'all could just sit back and call this guy fat. You know what? Just take it to him. Take it to Twitter. Don't use me as your middleman to call this guy fat. I understand my megaphone is bigger and louder than yours, but I'm not here for it. I like people who support the show. I like people who support me. I don't give a damn how much they weigh or what they look like. Get off this guy already. I'm trying to do a freaking talk show. Rome. Just let me know when you're done, Alvin. Sorry I'm getting in the way of your show, Alvin. Dear Rome, the Lakers fan protest can only help things. Signed, telling an angry woman to calm down. I may have to just reboot this whole thing, man. We are so far off the rails. Don't tell me to calm down. Why don't you calm down? Hey, Rome. Glad we were able to catch up. Been wanting to finish our conversation from 1973. Thanks. Signed, Bud Black.
Jim, thank you, man. You and I go way back to interviews at San Diego State in the late 70s. Man, I'm pumped for where you are right now. It's always great to catch up, Tom.
It's my man, Buddy Black. We do go way back. Maybe not that far back. Like, I'm pretty smart, and many thought that I was a prodigy when I got into the business, but I was not interviewing people when I was 12. Man, leave Bud alone. Bud Black comes on the show all the time. He ended today's interview by saying, I hope we can talk Rocky baseball again soon. Man, that's not the guy that you want to take a run at. All right, then. In addition to it, pretty good day on the phone so far. In fact, I want to get to Philadelphia, Toronto, but we had Jeff from Southfield. He got racked. And I'm always trying to play that hot hand. Like when you sit down at a table and you play blackjack and you sit down right in the middle of a heater, you know what you have to do, right? You play that hand because it's only a matter of time before it cools off. That's what I'm going to do. Let me ask you something, Alvin. As long as you're done with that whole fat alarm thing, do you have any sound from Tyler in Edmonton lighting up Jason in Harrisburg? Dude, now.
By the way, bro, it was real nice of you to call a nationally syndicated radio and TV show to tell everyone about that wet dream you had the other night. You'll be excited to know that I'm coming in with fresh new pictures this year, you know, because I'm sure your little well of fantasy imagination is running dry on the ones I sent in last year. So just do me a favor and make sure you only screenshot the ones that don't include me when you tuck yourself into bed at night, all right, you little creep?
That little creep is on hold right now. and I know he wants to respond. And I am here for that. I'm not here for the other crap, but I am here for that. Kind of an unusual and not expected jungle beef. Jason in Harrisburg and Tyler in Shredmonton. Let's find out. Let's go to Harrisburg. Jason, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you?
Good. I'm great.
Seems like I struck a nerve, Tyler. If you really are good at everything you do, how'd you end up as a coach? After all, as the old adage says, those who can do and those who can't coach. And those kids didn't make the national team because of you. They made it in spite of you. I can't help but wonder how many kids could have made it further if they hadn't quit because their coach was an asshat. Didn't you just hear Bud Black say the people when Ops did a great job, but it's really all about the players? Funny how you made your coaching stint all about you, man. And when I made that call, I was speculating about who you might end up as. I didn't realize that's what you already were. But it's good to know I hit the nail on the head. The funny thing about Little League Coach Guy is that he doesn't know he is that guy. You also said something the other day about speed, skill, stamina, and talent. Well, you had to have learned those words from your girl because that's exactly how she explained my prowess in bed, with just a little extra emphasis on stamina. And speaking of your girl, if you think those pictures are wet dream worthy, I bet you do an awful lot of laundry, bro, because there's not a slump buster on the street you could walk past without going American Pie all over the place.
That's not a good call. No.
You little creep.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good
come on,
call.
You little creep. You gotta be better than that. Well, that's the end of that beef. Anybody else? It is smack-off season. The smack-off is in 42 days. The most important smack-off ever. Smack-off number 25. The silver anniversary of the smack-off. Come on now. Like I said, I should have just reset this thing. We're into the second hour. Friday's got to be a big day. Do not go into the weekend and half-ass it. Bring me your best content. Make your best phone call. Be the best version of you. Make the show better. Do not bring us down. Like this guy, I'm sure. This guy will accept that. Let's go to Jeff in SoCal. What's going on, Jeff? How are you?
Rome, I'm great. Hey, I got to come in. Clones, lay off my man Beaks. He's not fat. He's thick. And, Jim, I'm more concerned about Nooch in that picture. I mean, does this dude live in Arkansas or Darfur? Do I need to start a sponsor, a clone program, Romy? Do we need to start sending Nooch those military-sized rations of rice to keep this man nourished? Dude, if Nooch turned sideways in that picture, we wouldn't have even seen him. But, Jim, I digress. I got an ATP question for you. How much damn money are you making for CBS that they have the cojones to televise 40 WNBA games this summer? Is this going to be like March Madness? Are they going to air these games on True TV, TNT, and TBS? If a Seattle Storm versus LA Sparks game goes into overtime, are they going to cut into it for a rerun of Big Bang Theory? Is Live PD going to interrupt a Chicago Sky versus Dallas Wings game if it runs late? I mean, what kind of deal do the sponsors get to advertise during these games, Rome? Was it like, pay for one commercial during WNBA season and we'll give you five free ones during NFL season? You know, commercials that people will actually see. And, I mean, Jim, this has disaster written all over it. And finally, Jim, in closing, seeing as it is smack-off season, and I know my bad boy jungle reputation has me persona non grata at this event, I'd just like to give you a quick tidbit of what you could expect from me if for some reason if you DM'd me a golden ticket. So, Jim, what do Brad and Corona and a G.I. Joe doll have in common? Well, they're both jacked, they're both completely hairless, and they both have no visible sign of a crank.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Jeff, it's going to sound like I'm a company man, but in this sense, I am a company man. I work for CBS. I am proud of that affiliation. I'm proud of that association. CBS has an affiliation and an association with the WNBA. I am proud of that as well. These are things that I'm proud of. Let me tell you something I'm not proud of. You, your calls, and your tired WNBA resets. I'm not proud of that at all. In fact, I'm pretty tired of it, Jeff. Come on, man. You're one-trick pony, bro. Come with something different. Come with something else. You can't keep calling this show and tweeting to the show with the same tired take over and over and over again. Man, you beat that thing down so long ago. Like, it was never funny. And especially now. 1-800-636-8686. Again, can any of you make this better? Why am I rolling phone calls? Is that not the worst idea on this show? Jim Rome rolling telephone calls in the jungle. There's a reason why I normally average one or two calls a day. Why not? Let's just ride this thing into the ground. Let me play that cold hand. I'm like at a blackjack table right now, and I keep getting a six. Face up. Six, six, six. Hit it. Oh, there's another 10. That's what you are, Jeff. I'm sitting on 16. The dealer's got a king up, and I got to hit that thing because I have to. You're a bust card, Jeff. You are a bust card, Jeff. That's what you are. I sit down. Every single hand is 14, 15, 16, queen, 16, 9, 16, Jeff in SoCal. You're the ultimate cooler. You're the ultimate bust card, man. What I would give to have a 10 showing. But even if I did, there'd be a 6 underneath it. And you'd be coming up next. How about this cat? Kyle in Green Bay. I'll try it. Hey, Kyle, how are you?
Romy, it's been a little while. So long, my buddies are saying I have cold feet and I wouldn't call this week. Also, I think the JTP needs a little reminder of what Kyle in Green Bay is all about. Everyone knows I rejuvenated the clone stock. And with this being said, I'm here to announce the Kyle in Green Bay 2019 tour. So, clones, get your calendars up. That may be coming to a city near you. May 25th, 26th, the Indy 500 with Paulie and Indy and Nick in Newport Beach. I reached out to Cruz. He might be coming as well. July 20th, 21st, Omaha, Nebraska, the first annual Jungle Open. Should be a lot of fun. I suck at golf, but I'm down for some chugging of the brewskis. The Big Kahuna, the third annual Green Bay Clone Stock, September 26th. Rome, this is the year you got to come. It's a Thursday night game against the Eagles. In October, I'm hitting it hard. New York, October 3rd through the 7th. Houston, October 17th and the 18th. And Detroit, October 26th and the 27th. Clone, get at me at Kyle in Green Bay. I want to end with this, Romy. Paul Pierce, you're a bum. Never go after a Greek god. Don't matter Rockets. Don't matter who we're playing. Bucks and six. I'm out.
Nice job, Kyle. Man, this guy's got his year mapped out better than I have my year mapped out. Multiple stops. Look, I got to love a guy that loves the show that much, that he's all about meeting, congregating, spreading the word, spreading the gospel, getting together with other clones. And he's going to run that thing down. He's going to be at the Indy 500. He's going to be in New York City. Of course, the third annual Green Bay Clone Stock. You got it, Kyle. Good looking out. Way to rep. Way to rep this show hard. Way to mobilize. Way to congregate. Way to get your people together. Love it. Make sure you document all of that. Hey, way to get me a winning hand finally at the blackjack table. That's that five that I've been looking for. Document everything, bro. I'll push it out. I'll retweet it. I'll make sure everybody sees exactly what you're doing. Kyle in Green Bay. All right, still ahead. I've got Terry Stotts. When we come back, I want to get into Philadelphia, Toronto. Crazy series. If you say or you think you know what's going to happen in that series, you're lying. As any coach or GM will tell you, the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise that teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. The same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You need top talent, but you don't have endless resources to find that talent. What you do have is ZipRecruiter. They scout talent for you. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they do not stop there. Their powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate right through that site on the very first day. Right now, you can try it for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. The service is amazing. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ROME. ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter really is the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's golf's next major, the world's best, by the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger is shooting for back-to-back majors, his 16th overall, the PGA Championship, next weekend on CBS. All right, so now would be a pretty good time, I think, for everybody to stop saying how predictable the NBA playoffs are. Maybe they have been in the past, not this year. Boston blows out Milwaukee in game one. Then they get smacked in four straight. Denver beats Portland by 26 in game five. And then Portland beats them by double digits in game six. And then you've got Toronto and Philadelphia. The Raptors win that first game by 13. Everybody is rolling in with their Philly can't win in Toronto takes. Then Philadelphia wins game two in Toronto and then blows Toronto out in game three. And that's all about how Kawhi's got 1 foot out the door. And guys like Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol are washed up. And Philadelphia is going to give Milwaukee hell in the conference finals. But then Toronto wins the next two games. And then it's time to break up the Sixers. Everybody's saying how bad Philadelphia's chemistry is. That Joel Embiid is overrated. That Ben Simmons might be better off as a center or on another team altogether. And then comes last night. Philadelphia 112, Toronto 101. So now it's time for everybody to take a seat and shut their mouth. If the playoffs have taught us anything, and pretty clearly they haven't, but if they have, it's that you can't jump to any conclusion after one game. Ask Paul Pierce. Ask anybody who thinks you can. Not even after a couple of games. Hell, if the Blazers listened to everybody outside their building after last season, this team would not be where they are right now. But back to Philly, because that's where the Sixers were last night. And that's where they went off last night. Earlier in the series, Sixers head coach Brett Brown tried to give Jimmy Butler a new handle. James Butler. James wasn't having any of that. But the fact is, the old one's just better. Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Buckets was in the building last night in Philly. You knew he had something special working when Buckets showed up to work in a minivan and stirrup pants. I mean, is this dude for real? I know Butler's a little bit different, but is that guy for real? When I first saw that, I thought that had to be a Photoshop. I thought Denlesks somehow got in there and started doing Denlesk type things. I mean, who's got the gonad, the audacity, the stones to pull off that look? This guy got out of a minivan in stirrup pants before the biggest game of the year. I mean, that's some serious heat right there. You do that, and what you're telling the world is, I'm here. I got this. Let's do this. And he did. He only had 25 last night, but I say only because it felt like 40. He had a huge impact, especially in the first half when he had 19 and was doing things like this.
Jimmy Butler for three. This would be large. It's off the front. Butler got his own rebound. Foul by Lowry. Put back in. Oh, man. Jimmy Butler going to the line. He took the hit and made the bucket. And now emotions for the crowd. Let me hear you.
Sixers radio. This guy was doing everything, everywhere, including setting up Ben Simmons for this.
Butler with the ball. Two-man game with Joel. Goes away from the screen, into the lane, lobs it to Simmons, and Ben Simmons crashes down with a two-hand jam. Great feed by Jimmy Butler.
Speaking of Ben Simmons, how about this stat line? 21 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. Now, was this guy perfect? No. He'd be the first one to tell you that. But was he garbage? No. He's not that either.
Garbage.
And they're not winning that game if that guy doesn't step up. He knew that going in. He stepped up when they had to have it. Philly got out. They were running. He was setting guys up. Philly was scoring. And we know this about Philadelphia, right? This is how they have to have success. By pushing the pace, staying out of those slow it down half court situations. That's nothing new. We all know that. But that's where he is right now as a player. And that's where they are right now as a team. Everybody knew that coming into this series, and they know it coming out. And then Joel, who was taking a ton of heat, despite playing with like 15 different illnesses and injuries, he still went 17-12, and he had a plus-minus of 40. Nothing wrong with that, and especially when Joe is giving you moments like this.
Dennis guards Kawhi, he dribbles right around, and Embiid blocks his shot. On the run out, Simmons, he's going to lay it up and in. Embiid with a block at one end, and Simmons like a freight train. Getting the layup.
Now that's Philly back to being Philly. Joel laughing, hitting dudes in the face, TJ McConnell breaking out the airplane, Jimmy and Joe back to their post-game comedy routine.
Get some rebounds and take off. That's
that's just how the game went for us tonight. Home crowd was great. No boos. They booed us a little bit, right?
That did boo.
Okay, they booed us a little bit.
That did.
We appreciate it.
So Philadelphia got embarrassed. They were humiliated in Game 5, but they responded. Season on the line, the guys who had to step up did step up. It's a man's game kind of performance. Would have been a lot easier for everybody to lay down and for guys like Butler and Tobias Harris to start thinking about their impending free agency, but they didn't do that. So what's going to happen in Game 7? Hell if I know. I mean, seriously. I mean, I know the numbers that favor the home team in Game 7. I know that Toronto pantsed Philly in Toronto in Game 5. I know that Philly has beaten Toronto in Toronto already in the series. So who the hell really knows? I also know this. There have been multiple times in this series when each team looked like a legitimate title contender. But other times when each team didn't look like they even belonged on an NBA court. So what I know is this. A lot of people who think they know don't know. That's for damn sure. So if you hear anybody telling you they know exactly what's going to happen in Game 7 of this series, keep moving because they don't. I'll tell you something else I do know. Toronto and Philly, Game 7. How about Masai Ujiri and Elton Brand? How about the two of these guys doing work? How about the two of them having their teams meeting up in a Game 7? Both bosses pushed almost every single chip to the middle of the table. The bet being, we need to win, and we need to win right now. The bet being, it's going to pay off this season. And for both of them, it is. Now they're both in a Game 7. The winner goes to the conference finals. I love that. Nothing but respect to both these guys for taking that kind of action, making those types of trades, being that aggressive, and not sitting back, not being complacent, not laying out. And now we're going to see who's got the better plan. Now we'll see whose plan will have them headed for Milwaukee. But I love the big swings that they both took. And now they're in a Game 7. 1-800-636-8686. Yo, Adam Hawk, what are you doing over there, man? Put the headphones on for a minute. I know what you're not doing. You're not answering the phones. Dude, why do you look so busy and nothing's getting done? Like, all these calls, like, every line is lit, but nobody's on the screen. What is that? Are these people that, like, you don't want on the air?
No, I just need to transfer their information from one screen to another.
Yeah, was that going to happen today?
Yes.
Hawk, what are you doing back there, Matt? You're like my 14-year-old, being all vague and bleep, not answering any questions. What are you doing there, dude?
In all honesty, I was previewing some emails that are coming into the show right now.
Why is it that whenever somebody starts a sentence with, in all honesty, they're about to tell a lie?
This time it was not a lie.
Oh, this time. The problem is, if you're on record as lying to me before, why would I ever assume that anything you tell me is the truth? Because you've lied before. You just said it. This time, it is true. Get the hell out of my face, Hawk. Just go, man. Take your headphones off. That conversation went even worse than I thought it would.
That was tragic.
That was tragic, Hawk. Hey, Mr. Rome. We heard you mention something about a protest in downtown L.A. today. Can you please give us a little more info on the time and the place? No need for info on what we will be protesting. We will be there. Signed, Seattle and Portland residents. Unwar protesting. Adam in Seattle. I'm not against protesting at all. I'm against a Laker protest outside of Staples that has 60 people. Hey, Rome, you should expect 60 to 80 people. Regards, Beeks calling and ordering a catering dinner just for himself. Hey, Jim, didn't Shaq just open up a restaurant right outside Staples? I'll protest all night. Yours, Beeks, infrequently sprincy. See, like that shark. That shark has jumped. The entire thing. Now you're trying so hard to work Beeks into a funny reference of his name and where he lives. There's nothing left. You've already hit everything. All right? Just move on to the next thing. Move on to the next person. Move on to the next whipping boy. Just find something else to do other than to call this guy fat. I noticed also on Twitter that you're not even saying anything because you know you've run out of things to say. Now you're just showing pictures of the guy. Just going with straight pictures. Terry Stotts joins me when we come back. First, a sports update, like some actual sports, real sports. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This segment is sponsored by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate your business from your personal. Feel more professional in your customer interactions with Grasshopper Business Phone Solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. You can try it for free at grasshopper.com. Portland doing what they had to do. They force a game seven. Great, great series. We are joined right now by the head coach of the Blazers. He is in his seventh season. He was named Western Conference Coach of the Month twice this season. The only current NBA coach to win Coach of the Month at least once in each of the last six seasons. Portland over Denver last night, 119-108. Game seven, Sunday, Portland at Denver. Blazers head coach Terry Stotts back in the jungle. Terry, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Jim?
Good, good. Good to visit with you, Terry. Thanks so much. So Denver got you guys pretty good in game five, but anybody who's paid attention, Terry, to you and your team knows that your guys would be ready and would respond in game six. So what was the mood like around the players and the coaches after game five and in the buildup to game six?
Well, after the game, we knew we didn't have a very good game. Arguably our worst game in the last month and a half of the, going back to March. So, we knew we didn't play well. It wasn't like game four where we felt we let one get away in game four. We just didn't play well. And, you know, coming into game six, it was just very businesslike, very serious. Knowing what we had to do, it was, to force a game seven.
All right, so Denver then jumps out to a lead in the first quarter. How pleased were you with the way your guys came back in the second quarter and then how you sustained that in the second half?
Well, I was really pleased. Obviously, our bench had a huge impact on the game overall, but in the first half, they got us back into it. We fell down 10 early. They made some threes, but our bench really responded well. Zach Collins, Rodney Hood really got it going in the second quarter with some scoring. We tightened up our defense. I thought Evan Turner did a very good job defensively and run the team while he was in there. So they got us back on track, and then we were able to stabilize after that.
Yeah, the bench was huge. I'm going to go back to that in a minute. I want to ask you about Damian Lillard, because the interesting thing going into last night's game was this perception that Denver had bottled up Dame, even though he was still averaging more than 26 per game. I think it says something about the level that he's at right now that somebody might suggest that he was bottled up at 26 per. Like, how accurate is that perception to you, and what do you make of how he played in the first five games?
You know, I think he played really well. The problem was he didn't shoot the ball well, and I don't know. You always have to give the defense a little bit of credit, but I thought that he had some looks that he didn't finish. Unfortunately, when you're a scorer, everybody kind of looks at the scoring. And like I said, he didn't shoot the ball well, but I thought he played well.
Terry Stotts joining us. Then he broke out with 32 last night, including 17 in a third quarter, which included a couple of those logo threes. So when he's hitting those shots, how much does that impact the crowd, the opponent, and his own teammates?
Well, it impacts everybody. It's very deflating from an opponent standpoint. It gets the crowd into the game. I think it energizes our guys. Our defense seems to pick up when the offense is going well. Everybody seems to have a little bit more energy defensively. So, those are big momentum shots, and particularly in the playoffs, momentum is really important.
Blazers head coach Terry Stotts joining us again. Terry, you mentioned Rodney Hood. He'd had some tough stretches in the OKC series, but he's broken out in a huge way in this series, including the 25 he had last night. So what's been the biggest change, and what does it say about him that he did not fall apart after a tough series against OKC?
Well, you know, I think different opponents offer different things. You know, and against Oklahoma City, Dame and CJ, Dame was having a great series. This series, Rodney has a favorable matchup. He has a size advantage on some of their guards. They're putting their bigger guards on Dame or CJ, so he's been able to take advantage of some of those. I think the thing that probably for me was the confidence he was shooting the three You know, he's good at one-on-one. He's good at getting the lane and finishing around those guys. But the way he shot the three confidently, he went 3 for 4 last night. That was probably the most encouraging thing.
We're talking to Terry Stotts. And Terry, you mentioned Zach Collins. You and I have talked about him in the past and about the growth in his game. Last night seemed like another milestone for him, both in terms of his impact at both ends. What's it say about him that he's playing huge minutes in the fourth quarter of an elimination game and making that big of an impact?
Well, it's he gives us something that we need. I mean, he gives us good rim protection. He plays with a passion and aggressiveness. The probably a good thing for him is that the playoffs can get physical, and so he doesn't get in foul trouble that maybe you would in the regular season. But he's had an obvious impact on the game at both ends. But his defense and his energy was big time. And as you mentioned, he's a young guy. He's 21, and to have this impact in his second year, playing in a game like last night is I'm happy for him. You know, it's as a young player, things can kind of go up and down, but it'll do wonders for his confidence, not only for Game 7, but moving forward.
Yeah, it would really seem like he's developing really rapidly. You know, I can keep running down name by name. There's C.J. McCollum. You mentioned Evan Turner, who had a big fourth quarter as well. I guess what I'm saying is I could pretty much go down the entire roster and find somebody who contributed. How big is it then for you as a head coach to get that kind of productivity from so many different places instead of having to rely on just one or two guys?
Well, it's good for the team, and you got to – obviously, you win with stars in this league, and you need production from your best players. But, you know, I look at a game like last night where Evan Turner didn't take a shot, but he had 7 rebounds, 7 assists and impacted the game, played very good defense on Paul Millsap that kind of gets lost in all the performances last night. But for me, just finding a group out there that is clicking well. And last night we found it, and we were able to ride it.
So, Terry, there's nothing like a Game 7, right? I mean, these are the kind of things or the kind of matchups that set you up for the rest of your life, for better or for worse. From a coaching standpoint, how do you approach a Game 7? Do you try and keep everything normal and treat that like another game, or is it frankly just impossible to do so?
Well, I think everybody relies on their routine. You know, we'll go in, we'll have a practice or basically a video session tomorrow, and get on a plane and go, and we don't know what time we're going to play, but the thing is, I'm a big believer in routine and habits, and I think every player will approach it like that. But there will certainly be a seriousness to it. And, you know, I know coaches sometimes just wipe everything off the board and just say, go play. You know, we'll look at the tape and see if we want to make any changes. But I think you have to approach it as a normal game, but knowing that there's a lot more at stake.
Terry Stotts joins us for a few more moments. And Terry, earlier in the series for Game 2, you and your staff wore bow ties to honor John Yim, the team's video coordinator and player development coach, who was in a car accident. First off, how is John doing right now, and what has he meant to you and the entire organization?
You know, he and his family got out of the hospital 2 days ago, and it was I don't know if you saw pictures of the vehicle, but it was amazing that anyone survived the accident, and the whole family, all four of them, survived. And so he was in the hospital for 2 weeks. He's out, and, you know, he's got some rehab ahead of him, but he's doing very well. And, you know, as far as what he gives us, he's one of those guys that everybody relies on, players, coaches, staff. He does a little bit of everything. He's very giving, hard worker, and you know, you got people like that on your staff that you just very helpful in all kinds of areas. And so we miss him, but I tell you, it's he's certainly with us.
Terry Stotts joining us. I appreciate your thoughts on him. You know, over the course of the year, your team has faced so many obstacles on and off the court, and you just keep battling. In fact, have you ever had a team that was closer and tougher than this team?
I don't know. This team is pretty special. You know, we've had some good teams in the past few years as far as being close-knit and high character, but I think what we've gone through this year has certainly brought everybody a little bit closer. Even guys who are relatively new to the team, like Rodney Hood and Ennis, who came in February, are part of the fabric of our team and our culture. And they've come in, and it's amazing how everything has kind of coalesce together, and that's what would make winning tomorrow night, Sunday, even that much more special.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned culture. I was going to ask you about Ennis. I mean, for instance, what has he brought to it in terms of chemistry, and how does he impact your culture? What's it like having him around?
I'd say I didn't know Ennis, but he's been a great teammate more than anything else. Everybody knows what he can do on the court, but he's been a great teammate. He's about winning. For a guy to come in here, basically, obviously came here to help his career, and he's going to be a free agent. But he is about the team and doing what it takes to win games. And a lot of times guys in those situations are more concerned about themselves than what's going on with a new team that you don't have any connection with. And he is the complete opposite of that.
So, Terry, what about Game 7? As you think about this, in your mind, what is the key to Game 7?
Well, everybody's going to compete. It's going to be a long game, playing through the rough patches, keeping our composure, and knowing that you're not going to win the game in the first, second, or third quarter, and just trusting each other that when it comes time to win the game, that we'll find a way.
He is in his seventh season with the Blazers and the only current NBA coach, again, to win Coach of the Month at least once in each of the last six seasons. You know, Terry, I've told you this before, but I really do appreciate the relationship. I appreciate you coming back on, especially right in the middle of the battle. It's great to have you, Terry. Good luck this weekend.
As I've said, it's always a pleasure, Jim.
Thank you, Terry. I really do appreciate it, sincerely. Blazers are a super team to work with, and the coach always avails himself. That's a coach coming back in before a Game 7. Portland at Denver on Sunday night. Portland bouncing back from that Game 5 defeat and doing what they had to do last night. They force a Game 7. They give themselves a chance. It's going to be a major test now going back to Denver. But they gave themselves a chance. Portland fan, Blazer fan, where are you at? How are you feeling about this? 1-800-636-8686. Can they go in there and get that done? Denver is tough. They've been really tough. And the big fella is creating a lot of problems. But do not sleep on Portland. Going back to the phones. Got a busy third hour, so you want to get in right now. 1-800-636-8686. Oh, Beeks. The man of the hour. Beeks, man. What's up? How's your life, Beeks?
Hey, it's big, man. It's, you know, apparently there's a lot going on. But, dude, that was a sweet game of Jungle Jeopardy you got going yesterday. I know you can't keep up with all the shows behind the show, but when you asked what I was known for, about 90% of the JTP belted out Jacuzzi faster than James Holzhauer spewing correct answers at Alex Trebek. But, hey, man, in the jungle, you have to take the gloss given, right? Because when you play the game of clones, you either get lost or you fade away. But it could be worse, though, right? At least my origins didn't begin because there happened to be a hobo convention in Denver at the same time as a Ladies of the Night convention 28 years ago, Dan in Denver. You know who I really blame for all this, though, Jim? I blame Nooch. Yeah, thanks for coming out, Nooch. What's next, buddy? If we hang out again, will I end up on the cover of a plus-size Playgirl magazine? Great job, Chief. Let me tell y'all something a little about Lil Nooch. Dude is a sass hair taller than Frodo Baggins. Walking around Laguna with him felt like we were taking the One Ring to the fires of Mordor. And then on to you, clones. Yeah, sweet effort, guys, but come on. Can you not think Saturn was sweet meats and OB City not available? Was treats and Belly-O Gimme not available? Jesus, I haven't heard a clone. This dude named Pop took live video of himself at a Burger King drive-thru trying to order a Beats in Studio City with cheese, only to end up with an angry Whopper. Jim, I ain't even joking. I've seen the video. Clones, you can't keep Aqua Beats down because fat floats, you idiots. So expand your bend loose on my behalf, and let's finally put this to rest. Romy, Beats ain't the correct cost for me, bro. Just so you know, they call me Studio City in Studio City. Out.
Beeks, doing his best to roll with it. He said it best. You can't keep Beeks down because fat floats.
Fat?
Bro, it was a good call. It would be even a better call if you weren't trying to eat your phone while you were making it. Sam Amick coming up next hour. Alvin's Week That Was coming up next hour. Smack Off Storylines coming up when we return.